So as I said, Thursday was Ascension. And we have this picture of the disciples looking up into the sky where Jesus has been taken up and the cloud has come in front. And they go, what now? They'd been quite a roller coaster emotion, hadn't they, the last 43 days, if you count it that way. First, there was the intimacy of the Passover meal, a meal they shared with their friend and their teacher. Jesus had said some odd things that evening, all that stuff about being there to serve and not to be served. And then that bread and wine rigmarole. Not that it was unusual to break the bread and pass the cup. It was what he said rather than what he did. Do this in remembrance of me. Why would they need bread and wine to remember him by? Surely he didn't think they would ever forget him. Then there was the fear and violence around Jesus' arrest. He had predicted that somebody would betray him, but who would have thought it was Judas? Poor Judas, always tempted by the money, and now dead by his own hand. There was the trials, first by the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and then by Pilate, that hated Roman. There was the mockings and the beatings by the soldiers, more hated Romans. So much humiliation, so much unbearable indignity. Next, they endured the shocking reality of the death on the cross, an agonizing death on an instrument of torture. And then finally, Jesus was laid in another man's tomb. Oh, the joy of that morning when Jesus returned to them. For 40 days he had been with them again, teaching them even more intently than before. We read in Luke's Gospel, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told him, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Acts is a continuation of Luke's Gospel. The ascension of Jesus is described in both of them, but slightly differently. So we read the Acts one earlier. They were looking intently up in the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Luke's Gospel has it slightly differently. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed him. While he was still blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. They are just slightly different takes on the same events, of course. So the immediate what now was to go to Jerusalem and wait, because that's what Jesus had told them to do. And they did it with great joy because they'd just been told that Jesus was coming back to them. Two reasons to be happy. And of course, he'd given us this commission of going out and making disciples of all men. And he says to them, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the power to fulfill that commission, which seemed very, very difficult, was promised to them. And now they also had the anticipation that Jesus would return, just as he'd done when he left them, when after he'd been laid in the tomb. At this time between Ascension and Pentecost, are you filled with joyful anticipation? Do you feel the excitement of the Holy Spirit and an impatience for Jesus' return? The church in Ephesus did not know Jesus firsthand, but then we haven't met him in person either. From Paul's letter, I surmise that not all in that church had received the Holy Spirit, at least not at the time that the letter was written. We can read about the establishment of the church in Ephesus by Paul in Acts 18, well, basically Acts 18, 19, and a little bit of 20. And it was while he was on his third missionary tour. There was already a sort of a church starting out in Ephesus at that time when Paul arrived. But they hadn't heard of the Holy Spirit. They had received John's baptism, which was baptism with water. And we read in Acts 19:4-7, Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. So that's not much, but it was enough to start the church. Perhaps then when Paul wrote his letter to the church in Ephesus, they were in that period of time between the Ascension and the Pentecost. They hadn't yet received the Holy Spirit, but they did know enough about Jesus to worship him. And they were still waiting. So therefore, Paul prays, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. The Holy Spirit allows us to know God the Father better. I love this next bit. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Opening the eyes of our heart sounds like a very special thing to do. And it gives us hope. And it tells us of the glory of being part of God's kingdom. So, what now? What now for you? What now for me? To paraphrase, Ascension has been, Pentecost is coming. Are we open to receiving the power of the Holy Spirit anew? The power of the Holy Spirit that enlightens the eyes of our hearts to all the glories of the kingdom that Jesus died for. I pray that is so. Amen.